Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining me for today's Midweek Roundup. And happy International Education Week, everybody. Great to be with you this week. Always an exciting time of year with a lot of events happening around the world at different advising centers through the Education USA Network, but also here in the U.S. with regards to the Open Doors report that came out yesterday. And that'll be one of the topics we have today. So I want to thank you for joining me, and thank you, Zanetta, for being the first on today. Great to have you with us all the way from Lithuania. Hope you are well. Looking forward to some good conversation today. For those of you joining us on the podcast, hopefully you'll have some good food for thought coming out of this week's three topics. We're looking forward to jumping in with you on those three topics in just a moment or two. For those of you who are just joining us for the first time, the SMIE Consulting Midweek Roundup is put out by Social Media and International Education Consulting. That's the company that I started back in 2014, and now using this company as a way to help inform have discussions with international educators around the world about topics that are particularly of importance to international educators in the United States, about student flows to the United States, about new markets, about ways that we can be improving our own international recruitment strategies, and a lot of different ways to hopefully improve what we do in international education. So hope you can make this a regular feature of your week, either by joining us live chat for the regular Wednesday 1 p.m. Eastern installments of this event, or by listening on the podcast, now available on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, Stitcher, and others. So looking forward to connecting with you today and in the weeks and months to come. Oh, Zanetta's in London this time. Great. Glad you're getting a chance to explore, and hopefully International Education Week there is a productive one for you, and getting to have some fun along the way. So today our topics are Open Doors and the Economics of International Students. We'll also cover last week's release of the ICEF iGraduate Agent Barometer. They've been putting that out annually for a while. And that has some intriguing results that reflect, I think, some global trends that we've been talking about of late here on the podcast and on the roundup. And we'll also highlight today a colleague of mine at the at Birmingham City University, Gemma Davies, the recruitment manager there. And she has been doing some fantastic work in social media and using that for her international student recruitment efforts at Birmingham City University in the UK, and I'll highlight some of that through a story she had published this past week on fruitfame.com. One of my colleagues, Jackie Castine out of the UK, has been working on developing this site as a great storytelling destination for those great stories we all have in what we do in international education. And Gemma shared her story on how she's been using social media effectively at Birmingham City. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. So let's get into it. Open Doors came out this week. Always a big event. I remember times when I was working in Washington, D.C., that these Open Doors events at the National Press Club in D.C. were always a time of great anticipation and a time when there's always some either anticipation or dread, depending on the year, about what was going to be happening with the numbers. And for those not familiar with Open Doors, I've just posted the link to this year's Open Doors data, as well as the infographics and fact sheets that they have developed through IIE. Having worked at IIE for a number of years, I know all the work that goes into those reports and the data gathering, not only from the universities, but how they put all their various data sheets and infographics together. It's a huge effort, and certainly one that is to be commended. For those who aren't familiar with Open Doors, that report is funded by the Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs at the U.S. Department of State, and has been put out by IIE for a number of years, and they actually started keeping track at IIE of international student numbers back in 1920. So next year will be the 100th anniversary of that, or 2 years will be the 100th anniversary of their collection of this data. So exciting time, as always. And that data, as we know, is a year-old data, basically. It's data collected from the 2017-18 academic year, reported by individual institutions in the United States that are the homes for international students in the United States. And that data reflected, though there was an overall increase of, I think the number was 1.5% of the total international students currently in the United States, or current as of the end of this past academic year. That data, the focus of a lot of the press from Inside Higher Ed, The Chronicle, and I'm sure hundreds of others nationwide that have their spin on this data, will reflect the lead headline of the 6.6 decline in new international student enrollments this past fall. This feature of the Open Doors report is separate from the actual data that's collected by the individual institutions, where there are huge numbers of there's a couple different news surveys that are coming out. The survey data that you see with the Open Doors report reflects that 6.6% drop, and I take that back, that's from the fall 2017, not the fall 2018. They also do kind of a quick flash survey in the fall of each year that was highlighted in the Open Doors report briefing yesterday, but that also was reflecting a continued decrease in fall 2018, not just the fall 2017 data that was presented yesterday. So this is something that I think will need further scrutiny in the weeks and months to come. Obviously, there's a lot of policy issues that are being addressed by NAFSA and other organizations nationally to try and fight the good fight for international students and represent them and their needs, but also the universities that enroll them, and how valuable these students are to U.S. and colleges and universities. And the value, as we've talked about on this podcast and this midweek roundup before, is not just in the dollars and cents that these students bring to the United States, which are significant, and we'll talk about those numbers in a minute, but also in terms of the value to the campuses that enroll them, in terms of the cultural and international value that they bring in terms of their history, their heritage, their language to the campuses where they enroll. And that, I think, is what gets lost in the shuffle in all of this debate on visa bans and unlawful presence and really all the other limiting of visa terms and eliminating duration of status, these kind of topics we've discussed here, and how those are potential huge issues for prospective students and their parents that are sending sons and daughters to the United States. But the value of those students to helping educate not only themselves about what life in the United States is like and what American students are like, but also helping American students who are not going to probably study abroad and who have other priorities in their lives and have perhaps limited exposure to the rest of the world. This having international students on our campuses in the U.S. really helps those domestic students understand more about the world around them. So kudos to the folks at Open Doors who put this report out every year. It's a lot of work, and certainly what I want to highlight actually related to Open Doors are some of the positives that go missed in kind of the headlines that you see at the top level. What you hear from yesterday's news stories about the Open Doors report is that not only there are continued declines in new international students, 6.6% from the past year, but OPT, optional practical training, has really is what are keeping the numbers overall above water in terms of moving in a positive upward direction on the total number of international students in the United States, where growth of OPT was up 15.4% year on year, for students who are continuing on after their studies to take advantage of the practical training time that they have available to them. And we've seen, obviously, the last few years that growth has been primarily in STEM OPT. Students are pursuing STEM degrees in science, technology, engineering, and math, and are really continuing on into their beyond the first, second, and even third year of practical training time that they have available to them. So those really have, OPT has certainly driven a lot of that. You've seen continued drop-offs in the non-degree students, and that is primarily ESL. Students that have not been coming to the United States as in as large numbers as they have in the past. But let's focus on some positives, because we all kind of need that at this point in the year. What I was happy to hear on the report yesterday, and in going and diving into some of the data in Open Doors, is some of the country level data, and where there have been continued decreases and where there have been increases. We kind of know about the decreases in Saudi Arabia. That's been coming for a while, but you've also seen drop-offs in Canada and Mexico. That's a little bit disheartening, but no surprise, frankly, if you consider, I think, 4.3% from Canada Mexico was at 8% a drop in students, and that's largely due to the political tone probably taken by this current administration towards those two countries. So, but you have seen a number of countries where there have been increases. And in fact, of the top 25 places of origin on the Open Doors list, that on the Fast Facts sheet that IIE puts out each year, of those 25 countries, only 11 experienced decreases. There were 14 that were in the plus areas in terms of their student flows to the United States. So let's highlight some of those. You saw, even though China, the growth has slowed, they still grew 2.3%. Vietnam was up almost 9%. Taiwan, for the first time in a number of years, actually registered an increase of 4.4%. You saw Nepal grow 15.1%, or anywhere between 14 and 15%, depending on which chart you look at. You see also Nigeria growing at over 5% clip, Kuwait at over 5%, Pakistan almost 5%, Bangladesh and Spain at 4 and 2% respectively. So you do see some areas where there's growth. And that is, I think, where a number of institutions will focus their time in the weeks and months to come as they dive deeper into this data, is looking at markets that are growth areas for the United States, where that might be a little less affected by the politics of this current government. So let's stay positive. I also want to pay particular attention to Africa. As a continent, they are up almost 5%, 4.6%, to over 39,479. 11 countries in Africa have now over 1,000 international students each in the United States, at least 1,000, with Nigeria leading the way at over 12,000 international students currently in the U.S. So with an 8.4% jump, they are certainly looking to be one of the stronger markets for U.S. Institutions moving forward out of Africa. So let's focus on some of those positives. We are seeing, interestingly, the Open Doors Report Day now is sharing data not from NAFSA's economic impact statement, or what they now call their International Student Economic Value Tool, which last year reckoned about $39 billion in contributions to the U.S. economy from international students. This past year, stayed fairly similar in terms of their total economic impact, about $39 billion. So we're seeing that number stay the same. But at the Open Doors Report yesterday, they highlighted the U.S. Commercial Service report that shared that the actual contribution is, I think the numbers that they reflected were $42.4 billion in economic impact of international students in 2017. So obviously a little bit different methodology shared by the U.S. Commercial Service in their report, but compared to the $39 billion that NAFSA's economic impact statement shares. So these are significant contributions, obviously, and dollar stock, and hopefully that will be the what keeps this on the radar, international student issues on the radar of a number of colleges and universities and their representatives, elected representatives. For the second year in a row, institutions in the Midwest and Mid-South are in Southwest had experienced significant drops, over 4, 5, 6, 7% drops in their overall international student numbers. So those hopefully these second, third year of drops will begin to impact bottom line of universities and then impact hopefully their elected officials by hopefully advocacy that they do more of to fight the good fight for their campuses and for international students that make their campuses better places. So let's see what happens with that. But at least there's some positives coming out of that open door. It's not all doom and gloom. I like to be a positive person, and certainly we've been tested in the last couple of years, but don't want to certainly give up all hope on this respect. I think there's still a lot of positives to come on for the international ed sector in the United States as long as we are willing to put in the effort to get to where we need to be as institutions. Another tool that was released in the last week actually came out at the Berlin ICEF conference. They have been, ICEF and iGraduate have been releasing their agent barometer the last 2-3 years, and this year was a new release of data that had responses from over 1,300 agents in 101 countries, and I'm just about to post the link to that story from ICEF Monitor. And this one is, I think, very useful data. No matter how you feel about agents in what you do in your international student recruitment efforts, the data that you get from these agents is certainly reflective of the mood in the countries that they're representing and students are looking to go abroad from. The agent barometer also takes a look not just at the United States, but at other major destination countries as well, from Australia, Canada, UK, New Zealand, so the major English-speaking world. So it presents some data along with what we saw from IDP last month from their student buyer behavior report. You're seeing now survey after survey that is reflecting important shifts in the appeal of certain destination markets. And one thing I do like about this report, it also highlights in the feedback that agents gave in their report, is the importance of strong post-arrival support services. And I've said this from day one in my international education career. I learned very, very quickly that if we didn't provide the right level of services for the students we were bringing in from abroad, we weren't going to have those students for very long. And likely, if they didn't have a good experience, they would go home and they would tell their friends and so on and so on. And before long, your reputation as a university could be irreparably harmed because you weren't able to take care of them while they were on your campus. So for me, hearing that from the ICEF iGraduate Agent Barometer, that's one of their most significant outcomes of this report, is that agents reflect the need, as well as everyone else who works with these students on the front end and the back end at universities here, would say that you must have those services in place to take care of your students while they're on your campus. If you're not, it's a self-defeating proposition, and you will soon be losing more students than you care to count. So what's interesting about this agent barometer is, of the agents that were surveyed in 101 countries, 1,300 respondents, they represent collectively over 350,000 students that have studied abroad, left for study abroad in the last 12 months. So the good news is, on a global scale, they are still expecting between 74% and 84% of those agents surveyed do expect to send more students abroad in the next year than the previous. So the growth of the global student mobility pie is still front and center for most of all of these folks that are taking part in this business. I'm sure those that weren't weren't looking at increases. We're probably looking at flat or potentially slight decreases because of maybe the countries that they're located in and policies that were either becoming more attractive for students to stay or lack of options abroad. So that's something to keep an eye out on. In terms of what the areas of concern, they surveyed a number of the agents on what kinds of issues might be causing difficulty. Language was certainly one, financial difficulties, finding housing, personal safety, difficulty with their academic programs, cultural problems adjusting, problems with teaching staff. So these are the issues that students were experiencing after arrival, and that's what they're hearing back from their students that they placed about issues that they're having. The larger issues of perceptions of markets and what they're hearing and the way they're dealing with them, agents and advising their students. You see in the UK, for example, the issue of visas was less significant this year, but political context of Brexit and were not as significant, it seems. But the currency exchange rate has become an increasingly negative factor for the UK, concerns over the exchange rate. In the US, the concerns are primarily political, that were with how the international students are going to be perceived when they get to the United States. The other major challenge was with visas in terms of the major responses. So politics in the eyes of agents and their students abroad is certainly impacting the United States. So perceptions are of government policies are becoming realities on the ground for students and their agents. So interestingly, what I think visas always rises to the top no matter what destination market we're talking about. Those are the real issues that impact them. What has also come out of this report, and I'll conclude with this part on the Agent Barometer report, is that online programs or hybrid programs are becoming increasingly attractive for students that maybe don't want to be gone for 4 years or 6 years, depending on what kind of degree or degrees they might be doing, but they're looking for other options. So interesting to see how interest in online programs and how responsive universities will be to these needs in the market, particularly the international market. Most all institutions have now online degree programs, certainly online courses. But what are we looking at in terms of the future when it relates to international students by putting together hybrid programs? We've talked about transnational education here before and how countries like the UK have more students, international students, studying at British education locations. University education systems, education locations outside of England and the UK, as opposed to inside the UK. So really interesting to see where those go and how much of a overlap there is with that. Lou, thanks again for joining. I hope all is well with you and UniBuddy. Looking forward to great things from that company in the years to come because of your presence there. I do want to finish with a very positive story, I think. Of success in these times, coming from a British university, Birmingham City University, in the UK, and they have been very active. It's not a top tier British school or university, but they are ones that have invested heavily in social media and as part of their overall outreach strategy to international students, and have developed some really not unique tools, but certainly different ways of or maximizing ways to reach students, and particularly in the conversion of students to eventually enroll in their universities. So, what they've done, and my colleague there, Gemma Davies, had the pleasure of presenting with her at this past year's NAFSA in Philadelphia, albeit virtually for her. She's been at Birmingham City for two or three years now, and has had a story published on fruitfame.com. Another one of my colleagues, Jackie Castine, out of the UK, she has put together this site, fruitfame.com, to capture great stories in international education, success stories, whether it be a star fruit story, as Gemma's story is here for Birmingham City University, or a miracle fruit, if it's something that's just out of the blue, no one was expecting it, and turning then grapefruit stories, turning from sour into a positive, and then breadfruit stories, the kind of the bread and butter. But that's the kind of a theme of Fruit Fame, by highlighting your stories, your success stories, and I encourage all of you to check that out. That's fruitfame.com. Certainly, the link to Gemma's story will take you to that site, but you'll be able to explore that as well. So definitely take a look at that. We're with regard to what they are doing at Birmingham City, they obviously have a communication flow that they, number of emails that they send out to their prospective students. But they realized that their emails weren't always relevant for the students that they were sending them to. That their internal systems weren't obviously communicating. They couldn't really segment their email communications with different messaging as much as they wanted to. They had a number of touch points via email, but they knew that they needed to do something different with regarding engagement with their students to ensure that their messages were actually getting heard and that they were hearing what the students' needs were. And that ultimately is something that we can never lose sight of in international admissions, international student recruitment, is how important it is to listen to your audience and make sure that you're responding to their needs and showing yourself to be responding to their needs. So they introduced something called a conversion calling team at Birmingham City University and created something that's not new. Certainly it's been around for a number of years. An official Facebook group for students who had been offered admission to their institutions. So not a surprise for many universities have admitted student groups that they've created on Facebook. The challenge would be for them resourcing these two new areas for those offer holders. So the first thing they do in establishing the group is they ask two questions to those students to gain entry to the group. So kind of basic thing, but what subject are you coming to study and when are you joining us? So when they got that information from the prospective students through the Facebook group, it helped them monitor the group and keep out other university applicants who hadn't been offered admission yet, because they wanted to make sure that they could have focused conversations with these students. The management of the group was fairly time intensive. It was answering questions, posting updates, accepting requests. In a few weeks, they had over 300 members, and it really became more than just a 9-to-5 job. So she would be getting Gemma would be getting private messages at different times of the day, past midnight, and it felt like she had to respond. So they needed a bigger group to manage this, a bigger team to manage the group, I should say. And then they talked about their student conversion team and how important what role they could play in this new group. So they would have, they just set out doing a series of live streams. They did 30, they had recruited 5 students and another staff member to help with the workload of this Facebook group and really invested time and effort into this. They did 30 different videos live streamed on their campus, promoted those to members of the group for campus tours, to academic question and answers with professors and other things and students. Students were able to post questions and get answers right away. These were viewed on a weekly basis by prospective students, and the vice chancellor at the University of Birmingham City got a report each month of this. So great response, and the key, obviously, ROI is always the most elusive thing, particularly when it comes to social media. The group now has over 1,400 members, and unless they were manually able to go through and match members of the group to enrolled lists that they have, which was a monstrous task. They haven't done that yet, but what they did show is that they were getting the kind of qualitative comments and feedback that I chose BCU because of this group, and that really helped prove their value. And it's you've seen now that they've had a couple of cycles now with this group, That they've kept the same group format, they just changed the name of it to the next intake for that institution. And they now have former members that are current students that are helping advise the new students that are coming in. So it's kind of generated a momentum of its own, and it's really shown to be an effective tool for them in helping to recruit a larger group of international students to BCU. So kudos to Gemma and her team at BCU. They're doing great work there, and wish them all the best of luck in their future pursuits. So obviously we've covered a lot of ground today, and I want to thank you for joining me again. For those who haven't yet found the the videos are obviously available from this midweek roundup here on the Facebook page for SMIE Consulting, but you're also able to access an archive of these videos on our YouTube channel. The playlist there is available, so if you prefer YouTube to Facebook for video content, certainly you can get that there as well. Posted on the left-hand side, also the website for SMIE Consulting, if you're looking for more details on what we can provide to you as a university or institution, as well as our midweek roundup that you've just watched or heard is available on podcasting, through podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and at least one other. So Spotify. So there you go. So that's all we have for today. So we encourage you to stay connected with us at SMIE Consulting, and please contact us as you have further questions down the road. So all the best, and have a great week.